Appreciate that singing this morning. Take your Bible and turn with me to the book of John. John chapter number 8. Just one verse of scripture this morning. You're going to get a sort of a Wednesday night message tonight. And this was what I was going to preach on Wednesday night. And I felt the Holy Spirit just spoke to my heart and said, no, the people I need to hear that message will not be there. And I need you to preach that on Sunday morning. And, of course, I argue with the Lord all the time. And I said, Lord, I like to preach just a straight-up salvation message on Sunday morning. He said, I don't care what you like to preach. This is what I want you to do. Amen. So we're going to do our best to mind the Lord this morning. John chapter number 8. And we'll look at one verse of Scripture in verse number 36. John chapter 8 and verse 36. If y'all are there, say amen. Well, let's look at it together. The Bible said, if the Son... Now, we know who that's talking about. That's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, now, if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I wonder how many of you would give a good witness this morning and say, I know what you're talking about. I know what that verse means. I know what it means to be set free. We are living in the greatest country, I believe, on the face of planet Earth. Amen. If you don't think so, they got planes leaving here every day, trains, ships. There's a way out of here. And if you don't like it, just hit the road, Jack. Amen. I believe it's the greatest nation on planet Earth. I know there's problems. I know there's trouble. I know there's difficulty. I know there's wickedness. But even in spite of all that, I believe it's still the greatest nation on Earth. And what makes this nation great? This nation's God is none other than Jehovah God Almighty. Amen. Our money does still say in God we trust. Even though the majority of them don't, there's a remnant that does. Amen. It still sends out more gospel literature than any other country in the world. It still loves the nation of Israel where we are right now. And I believe God has blessed, is blessing, and will bless America due to that right there. Amen. But even though we live in this country and we sing the home of the free and home of the brave, land of the free, home of the brave, something like that. Even though we live in this great free country, listen, I am free to express my thoughts and opinion. Amen. You know, I can say anything I want to say, and so can you. Whether it's a positive thing or a negative thing, we have free speech. We have the freedom to practice religion any way we want. Amen. What gives the Muslim the right to do what they do is the same thing that gives me and you the right to do what we do. Amen. Thank God we live in a free country. But even in a free country, there are many still in some sort of bondage this morning. Even though we're born free in America, so many are wrapped up, tangled up, and tied up. The Lord put this on my heart while I was in New York. A young preacher by the name of Samson Ryman made a statement while he was preaching that drove me in this direction. And I'll tell you about that in a few minutes. But I want you to notice some things. There are people bound up right here in this room this morning. We stand up here and sing, thank God I'm free, and you'd rejoice and raise your hand. But in your heart, there's some chains. There's some handcuffs. There's some bondage. And what I want you to understand this morning, that even for Christians, this thing is, the majority of it is spiritual. Yeah. Amen. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. But again, were y'all smiling? Did you teach this morning? Exact word. I promise I didn't eavesdrop, and we have not had a conversation about the service this morning all week long. God is my witness. Evidently, God did want this, not Wednesday night. And son, woo, boy, that lets me know I'm still in tune a little bit, amen? And it ain't all Eddie White. There's some God in there somewhere, amen? This thing is spiritual, man. We are fighting a spiritual warfare. We are in a battle. And I believe those that love God and want to serve God the most fight these spiritual battles the worst. Amen. Amen. Hey, listen, if you're not doing anything for God, you're no threat. So no spiritual wickedness is going to hinder you in any way, shape, or form. Amen. You want the devil to leave you on? Just sit down, quit on God. But then you're going to be miserable the rest of your entire life. You're not going to live in the spirit of freedom. You're going to live in the spirit of guilt because you're not doing what you know that God has asked you to do. Amen. Amen. It feels good to get set free. I've got Brother D. Dyer raises these little Jack Russell dogs, and I got one of them, and she's crazy. I mean, beyond crazy. I mean, it's like her spring is wound up too tight, but I have to put her in the pen because she loves to visit the neighbors. And when I let her out of the pen, she's been cooped up for so long. And as soon as I open the gate, she shoots out of that thing. I mean, like a rocket, man. And she'll run around and around and around the house for 30 minutes while she'll go chase the horse. And then she'll go two or three more laps around the house. Then she'll go chase the horse again. I mean, just all that. You know what she's saying? Whoo, it's good to be loose, man. It's good to get out of that cage. It's good to be untied. It's good to have the freedom to move and to run. Amen. Hey, I need some people in there this morning that have that feeling that same way. Hey, just like you've been let out of a pen, like you've been let out of a cage. Hallelujah. Thank God he set me free. Amen. Now, he said, if a son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. I never thought about that much before, Brother Freddie. But I believe what he's saying there is it's not partial freedom, it's total freedom. If Jesus sets you free, listen, this freedom only comes from one place. He said, if the Son, capital S-O-N, if the Son make you free, you shall be free indeed. Listen, when Jesus is thrown in the mix, there is nothing that cannot be overcome. I'm going to give you four areas I feel like the Lord laid on my heart for this message. I promise you I was going to preach this Wednesday night, and God said, no, do it Sunday morning. So suffice it to say, you're supposed to hear this. And if you're in Brother Freddie's Sunday school class, I guarantee you you're supposed to hear this. Amen. Four areas where I believe spiritually the devil is attacking not just lost people, but God's people. If you're not saved, the devil's number one objective is to keep you from hearing gospel truth and coming to know Christ as your Savior. And if you fall under conviction, he's going to start talking to you. I'm telling you, this morning, he will start talking to you during the invitation and say, you need to do that later. You can do that when you get home. Wait till next week. Get sure about this. You're not ready. He'll give you every excuse in the world not to trust Christ as your Savior. But listen to me carefully. We are under vital attack this morning. Amen. Our way of worship's under attack. Amen. That's not one of my points, but I just thought about it. It's under attack. Our Bible's under attack. Has been for the last 50, 60 years. The Bible has been under attack. I'm talking about the King James Bible, the inspired, inerrant Word of God. Hey, I have no words crossed out in my Bible. I have no words replaced in my Bible. That's as old-fashioned as it gets, and people will look at you like, I cannot believe he actually said that. Believe it. I actually said it. Buy the CD and listen to it over and over. Amen. I actually believe that's God's word, but it's under attack. It's under attack. Hey, preaching against sin is under attack. They want to make it against the law for a preacher to say homosexuality is a sin. They say that's a hate crime. No, that's a love crime. Somebody care enough to tell somebody the truth. We are under spiritual attack. Now, here's what I see among our people in our church. Number one, I believe we are fighting the bondage of doubt. The bondage of doubt. Nobody's sure about anything anymore. 2 Timothy chapter number 1, I love this verse of scripture in verse number 12. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 12. He said, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I like this. He said, I'm going through the same battles you're going through. I'm going through trials and difficulties, and I know where you're coming from, but nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. Watch what he said. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep. Say that word with me. To what? To keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. What day? The day he takes us out of this old world. Amen. Paul said, I'm convinced, brother. I'm convinced that I know in whom I have believed. He's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm convinced that Damascus Road experience I had, that great light that I saw, that conversation that I had, I am convinced that that one is able to hang on and keep and sustain what he done in my heart. Amen. man. People are in doubt everywhere I look. Let me tell you something. Genesis chapter number 3, the first time we see any doubt in the Word of God, it's coming out of the mouth of a snake in the Garden of Eden. It's none other than the devil incarnated in a serpent, and he's talking to Eve. And Eve said, God said, we can't eat off of that tree. And here's what the snake said. Now, God didn't really mean that. Ye shall not surely die. God just knows if you eat that tree, you're going to be smart as he is. Yeah. Amen. You know what he's doing? Casting doubt on the Word of God. Casting doubt on the Word of God. If you're listening to a preacher, and I know some will get mad with me this morning, that's not my desire. I'm not here to start a fight, but I am here to defend what I believe. Yeah. When you hear a preacher and he's standing in the pulpit and he's reading from the Bible and he stops and says a better word would be, that's a snake talking. Y'all, there's no difference than the Garden of Eden. Y'all okay? No, none difference. No, not one. Hey, man, if I doubt one word in this book, if one of them's wrong, what's the chances they all are? If one word's wrong, if one word's just archaic and shouldn't be in the Bible, well, I wonder if the virgin birth is wrong. I wonder if blood-bought salvation is wrong. We okay? I wonder if the atonement for my sin is wrong. I wonder if the resurrection's wrong. I wonder if heaven's wrong. I wonder if hell's wrong. Hey, man, if I got to throw one out, let's just throw the whole thing out and read the Bassmaster magazine or something. Are we all right? Listen, the devil is a master at casting doubt, causing you to be uncertain about who you are and what you are. We've got so many of God's people. Oh, and you know where to shout and you know where to say amen, but in your heart there's doubt. I'm going to tell you why you don't pray. You don't believe God will answer your prayer. Let me tell you something. If I had a guarantee, I don't play the lottery, but if I had a guarantee that I'd hit the big one, all I had to do is pay a dollar and do it one time. Would you do it? Come on now, Miss Sanctimonious. You're thinking about it right now. If I had a guarantee, you better know I'd be going down there and buying me a ticket. I'd go to a store where they didn't know me. So give me one of them. I don't even know how to do them. You know, I guess you have to pick a number or whatever it is. I'd just say, give me one. If I had a guarantee, wouldn't you? About $50 million or whatever. Oh, no, church wouldn't have no more financial difficulty, I promise. Somebody has cut me off already. You're just wicked and you think everybody, you want everybody to think you're just angelic, amen? Listen, we have some guarantees in this book. The Lord said, ask what you will. He said, you have not because you ask not. Amen. We've got people who are saved by grace on their way to heaven when they die, but living in utter doubt about everything in their lives. You doubt your relationship. Man, when you start doubting God, it's going to cause you to doubt everything else. Amen. It's going to cause you to doubt your marriage. Well, I just don't love him anymore. What caused that? What caused that? We just don't get along anymore. What's causing that? It's just a constant fight. What's causing that? You got to get back to the root of the problem. The problem in the marriage is not all her fault, and it's not all his fault. The fault lies at where you are with God. How positive are you in your faith? Are we okay this morning? I have days of doubt. I'm human. And so do you. Amen. So many, I don't see how people make it in a church where they preach to you that if you commit a sin, you've lost your salvation. I don't see how you could make it growing up or functioning in a church that says that you have the ability to fall from grace. I fall off my bicycle. I don't fall off my truck because I'm not on it, I'm in it. Somebody help me right there. You know what that does? That casts his doubt. Paul said, I'm persuaded that he's able to keep. He's able to keep. I said, bless God, he's able to keep. If he's able to get you in, he's able to keep you in. And if he's not, he's a less God than I've been preaching about. And I'll hunt me up another one. But thanks be unto God this morning. He is able. He's able. He's not just able, he's willing.
dear God. If you could lose your salvation, they wouldn't be a saved person in this place. You forget I know most of you. Wouldn't be a saved preacher in the pulpit either. Amen. The only saved person be in this room is my wife. That points right there, amen. Seriously, we've got people who are in doubt this morning, doubting their salvation. I've been hitting this several Sundays about lost church members. Sister Terry Williams, she's not here this morning. Boy, how fast she got backslid. You know what she did? That thing bothered her so much, she got up in the middle of the night, got down by her bed and asked Christ to come into her heart, brother. Just because you're a member of the church don't mean you go into heaven when you die.
That's right.
And every time I hit that thing and every time I preach that thing, there's something thumping inside your chest.
Amen. Yes, sir.
And you go back to some little old experience.
Come on, brother.
But inside, really, you got doubt.
Come on, brother.
Yeah. You're afraid what people's going to say and you're afraid what people's going to think.
Right.
You got doubt.
Yeah. Right.
Don't leave here in doubt this morning.
That's
that,
right.
That is a spiritual thing. God never casts doubt. Now, I believe you can be saved. Now, stay with me. I believe you can be saved and get so far away from God that you don't feel saved anymore.
Amen.
Amen. That may be the case with many. Because salvation is a whole lot simpler than what man wants to make it out to be. It's a simple putting your faith and your trust in Christ Jesus and what He did at Calvary. That's it.
Amen.
That's all it is.
Amen,
period. Now, I believe a child, anybody, can come with the wrong motives. Can come without understanding. I did, 6 years old, didn't have a clue what I was doing. I just said what they told me to say. You can teach a bird to talk.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
And I lived on that thing for years. But every time I'd hear the message, you know why I didn't want to go to church? It didn't make me feel good. It stirred something down inside me. I go, oh, I'm okay. You know what I'd say? People ask me if I say, I'm Sandra White's son. She's the best bus captain in the state of Georgia. So, that didn't make me say.
Amen.
And for years, I lived in doubt. If I heard a message on hell, I couldn't sleep. I can preach one now and go home and sleep like a baby. Why? Because there's no doubt. There's no doubt. Listen, we come in here, God's children, with a bondage and the weight of doubt in our heart, in our minds and in our soul, and I'm here to tell you that's not God's will.
Amen.
That's not God's will.
Amen.
For you to doubt.
Amen.
If you're doubting your salvation, get it settled this morning.
Right.
If you're doubting your prayers, confess that thing to God and tell Him you're sorry for ever doubting Him to start with.
Amen.
If He's able to save you, He's able to do anything. He's able to keep a limb out of your yard, Miss Peggy, when there's a tornado whirling all around and roofs being ripped off the houses. I guarantee you, she couldn't even see her home, didn't know what was happening, but I guarantee you, somewhere along the line, Miss Peggy said, Lord, please, please protect my home. God said, okay. Ashley Hawford, diagnosed with cancer from head to toe. By the way, she'll be one of the speakers at our ladies' meeting Saturday afternoon. Every phone call was worse news. Every now and then you'd like to hear, oh boy, we got a good report. No, no good reports. All the way up to the bitter end. No, no good reports. It went from bad to worse. And that little mother would call me and say, I don't know what to do. And I was trying my best to comfort her, but you know what I was saying in my heart? I don't know what to do either.
Amen.
Inside my heart, there was part of me that was saying, boy, y'all better enjoy every minute you got. How dare me?
Yeah.
Knowing what I know. Knowing who I serve.
Amen.
How dare we be shocked when God answers a prayer?
Yeah.
The only reason we're shocked and taken by surprise because we're sending up prayers that are covered and shrouded in doubt. And God says, I don't even hear that mess. If you ain't got the confidence to even believe in me and trust in me, then don't even talk to me.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. But then somewhere through that thing, I don't know. I found a peace.
Yes,
I didn't know how the outcome was going to be, but something told me it's going to be okay.
Yes,
amen.
Yes,
something said it's going to be all right. Are you praying in doubt?
Come on.
Are many of your prayers shrouded in doubt? Praying, unbelieving? Have you quit asking God about some certain thing in your life because you've been praying about it so long and you just don't believe it's ever going to happen? Have you given up? Don't ever give up on God. Because with Him, there's always hope. Remember the scripture, with God, all things are possible. I know we talk about Ashley probably too much. I don't know. Maybe we don't. Maybe we don't talk about it enough. God did that. They said she'd never be able to have a child. Never. Now, it ain't possible. Chemo has ruined you. It ain't going to happen. They want another child so bad, they were going to the extent of looking for, what'd y'all call that? A surrogate mother. I think God had something else in mind. Because she went to have surgery the other day, went in for the pre-op, they're going to stretch her esophagus where she wouldn't choke when she eats, and they said, we can't do surgery. They said, wow. They said, you're pregnant. Sheila said, yeah, but there's dangers there. And I know there is. I know that's possible. And I'm not making little of that. But if God is able to put a baby where it wasn't possible for a baby to be, God is able to bring that baby to life. Amen. Hey, you know what that does? That runs my doubt down the road. It tells my doubt to hit the road, Jack, and don't you come back. Why? Because I serve a God who I believe is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. Many come in tied up in doubt this morning. Stay with me. This is going to get sensitive right here. In our church. I'm not preaching to somebody else. I'm preaching to us. In our church. Not only we have people under the bondage of doubt, we have many in this room under the bondage of depression. It's running rampant in our society. And I'm not beating you up for it. I'm just telling you, it's a real problem. It's a real problem. Some of the godliest people I know suffer with it and battle it. One of the greatest preachers I know battles with it. Y'all okay? Let me give you a verse of scripture first. Psalms 144 and verse number 15, the last phrase of that verse, you know what it says? Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Depression. It's like a black cloud that sets down on your life. And it causes you not to want to do much of anything. You don't want to hear the phone ring. You don't want to talk to people. You want to pull the covers over your head and hide and just hope the world goes away. Now listen to me carefully. I'm not making light. It's a real problem. It's a real problem. If you watch the drug commercials, all these... I forgot, I was going to write down some of the names of them that I've just seen this week. There are more commercials for antidepressant drugs than there are any other drug. Yeah. Then you listen to the side effects of the drug. I'd rather be sad. Well, okay, I'm not making light, I'm not making fun. But that stuff's serious business, man. And they're handing that stuff out like Skittles, like I do candy to the kids in my office.
Come on, preacher. Amen.
Well, I'm going through a hard time here. Take this. Everybody goes through a hard time. Everybody battles this thing on some level in their life.
Yes, sir.
Now, I mentioned this the other night. I used to make fun and make light of it. I said, if you're depressed, you just ain't right with God. Duh. Till I got depressed. Y'all okay? Listen to me carefully. More than 1 in 10 in the United States of America are on antidepressants. 11% of Americans over the age of 12 are on antidepressant medication. 12. Children. Listen to me carefully. The rate of antidepressant use has skyrocketed almost 400% in the last few years, since the 80s. Are y'all listening to that? And here's where I'm going this morning. That depression, in many cases, leads to the next level. In these spiritual battles, there's always another level. Here's the statement that was made when I was in New York by a young preacher that spurred this thought in my mind. In the town of Delaware, where he's from, in the last month, during the month of February, 5 teenage kids in the local high school have taken their own life. When you get to the point to you feel like your life is not worth living, that is a demonic spirit. If you go back to the maniac of Gadara, I'm helping somebody this morning. If you go back to the maniac of Gadara, they chained him up with chains and fetters. The chains couldn't hold him. He was naked, remember? And he would break the chains asunder. And as soon as he did, he started cutting himself. What is that? That's attempted suicide. It's demonic. What are you saying, preacher? There's hope. And there's help. Are you to the point that you're chained up in a cave somewhere? Are you to the point that you're literally taking knives or some sharp object and cutting your body? Are you to that point? He was.
Amen.
He was. The next time they saw him, the Bible said he was clothed and in his right mind. What are you saying? Every bit of that was up here. Every bit of that was in his head, and it was the devil. Amen. I've lost some of you. In 2009, that's been a few years ago, in America, 36,909 people took their lives. Here's the kicker. Over 1 million attempted it. If you go talk to Brother David Hofford, Brother Tommy Mann, Brother Casey Crosby, Brother Chase Bowles, these men that work in rescue and fire and police department, ask them how many suicide calls they go on. This thing is real. When those thoughts start entering your mind, I have nothing to live for. This is more than I can bear. You need to recognize that as the devil. And get on your knees. The Bible said resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Start quoting him scripture. That's what Jesus did.
Yeah. Amen.
Go to Matthew chapter number 4. See what the Lord did when the devil came at him.
Amen.
Are we all right this morning?
Amen.
We are at the highest rate of suicide in 15 years. 31,000 suicides a year in the U.S. among people below the age of 24, between 15 and 24. Why is the devil attacking young people so bad? What's the motive? There must be a future plan for them. God must have something in store for that 15-year-old girl. God must have something great lined up for her to do, else the devil wouldn't try so vehemently to stop that. The only reason he wants that life to end is to hinder the will of God. He has no power against God, so he attacks something weaker, and that is you and I. Somebody said, now I'm going to lose a lot of people right here. Somebody said, I don't believe a Christian can be possessed. Look around. This controversy came up one time years ago, and Brother Charles asked me about it, and I said, well, I'll be honest with you, I've always heard it ain't possible. I said, call Brother Randy Pike. He knows everything. Brother Charles called Brother Randy and said, do you believe that? He said, well, brother, your church is full of them. You jump up in here and cause a church split, it wasn't the Lord that made you do it. You put a gun in your mouth and pull the trigger, it wasn't the Lord that made you do it. Listen, this thing is real. I knew a preacher, some of y'all may have heard him, Brother Buster Seaton. Anybody ever hear Brother Buster? Brother Buster Seaton. Oh, am I lying? He's a great, great man of God. Powerful preacher. He was on antidepressants. They diagnosed bipolar. They changed his medication. And you see this over and over and over. They changed his medication. He got up from the supper table with his family, Brother Atkins, walked in the bedroom, laid down in the bathtub, and blew his brains out. A man of God. So don't think you're above it.
That's right.
Elijah wanted to die.
That's right. Yes, sir.
I'm talking about a man who called down fire from heaven. I'm talking about a man who slew 400 prophets of Baal with his bare hand. I'm talking about a mighty man of God. Are we okay? Moses wanted to die. I'm talking about great people. Great people. Let me tell you something. The man with more spiritual insight than any man I know, and I'm not putting him up higher than I ought to, I'm just telling you facts, Brother Doug Fisher, battles this thing, and he wouldn't care for me telling it. He's got a message, he preaches about it. Battles this thing. Battles this thing. Here's the important. Don't give up the battle. Don't give up the fight. You got time? Can I tell you a story this morning? Can I tell you a story? There was a young man in the 1700s. As a matter of fact, he was born in 1731. His name was William Cowper. William Cowper was the third born to an English clergyman and his wife, the third of five. When he was 6 years old, his mother, giving birth to the fifth child, died in childbirth. This took a great toll on William Cowper, messed his mind up. Later, they sent him away to a boarding school. And for 2 years in that boarding school, he was bullied and beat every day. This drove him deeper as a child into depression. When he was older, they suggested that they put William Cowper in an insane asylum. They locked William Cowper in an insane asylum. Just so happened that insane asylum was run by Dr. Nathaniel Cotton, who was a lover of poetry and a committed Christian. One day in 1764, while reading the book of Romans, William Cowper trusted Christ as his Savior.
Amen.
This manic, depressive young man of 32, 33 years old, after he prayed that prayer, Brother Freddie, he sat down in his room in an insane asylum. Won't you listen to what he wrote? He wrote, "There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, where sinners plunge beneath the flood, lose all their guilty stain." He said the dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. "And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away." He said, "Dear dying lamb, thy precious blood," I can't see. "Dear dying lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more." Listen, he said, "Ere since by faith I saw the stream thy flowing wounds supply, redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die." He said, "Then in a nobler, sweeter song I'll sing thy power to save when this poor lisping, stammering tongue lies silent in the grave." That came from a manic depressive in an insane asylum. Didn't sound like a crazy man to me. Didn't sound like a suicidal maniac to me. Sound like somebody got under the spout of where the blood comes out. I'm saying there are some here this morning in bondage, not only to doubt but to depression. What do you think I should do, Brother Eddie? I think you should pray. I think you should bring that matter to God.
Amen.
Quit trusting medicine. Do not take that statement to the extreme and go home and flush a bottle of pills down the toilet. Many do that and they're not spiritually ready to do that. Are y'all listening to me? Understand that statement. That's dangerous. But begin to pray. Begin to bring that matter to God. Find out why you are. Find out what's got you down. Find the root of the cause. Could be a relationship. Could be you ain't got a clue. You can't put your finger. What's wrong? I don't know. Y'all okay? Still bring that matter to God. Get some Christian friends to help you pray. Don't be so ashamed that you're in hiding. You're not a freak. You're not a weirdo. You're a human being that God loves and God wants to heal and God wants to help and God wants to deliver this morning. I'm not preaching to you like something's wrong with you. You're human. Grab your Sunday school teacher. Grab somebody you believe can pray and say, "Will you help me pray? I'm fighting a battle. I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm not happy. Please help me." Many come in and they're under the bondage of doubt, but there's freedom from doubt. Amen. God will take the doubt and give you a shout. Amen. Many are fighting with doubt. Many are fighting with depression. I hope you found courage in old William Cowper's story. Man, that was back in the 1700s before they knew what to do with depression. He didn't have Prozac. Y'all listening? He didn't have Cialis or whatever all these other. He didn't have all that stuff. Is that not for him? Let's stand for the invitation. Amen. Free from doubt. Free from depression. Now listen, there are many who are under the bondage of dread. Dread. Uncertain about tomorrow. We are living in a country that's only hope is in a failing government. Do you listen to the naysayers? Doomsday's coming. And it may get worse before it gets better. But I choose not to live my life in dread. Why? Because 2 Timothy, where we were earlier, in chapter number 1 and verse number 7, the Bible said, "For God hath not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind."
Amen.
That kicks those first two points in the teeth also.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
I'm not dreading the election.
Yeah.
By the way, Tuesday's our primary. Go vote.
Amen.
Go vote.
Amen.
It's our job to hire them. It's our job to fire them.
Amen.
It's hiring time. It's firing time.
Amen.
Ain't nothing to do with a sermon. Go vote. But that's not where my hope's in. My hope's not in the economy getting better. I pray it does. I pray it, but our church needs it. We got folks in here been out of work for some for over a year, some for over 2 years, some pushing three. Yeah, I'm praying it gets better. But I'm not going to hang my joy on it. I'm not going to hang my happiness on it. I'm not going to hang my confidence on it. Why? Because my confidence is not in a government. My confidence is not in a Social Security plan. My confidence is not in a bailout plan. My confidence is in a Calvary plan. And it's already been took care of. The bill's already been paid. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you my future's looking pretty good.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Well, what if we have a Great Depression? We all starve to death. I got plenty of big people around here. I ain't never eat a human, but probably. I'm teasing. Listen, I know a couple of people that's storing up food. We'll go to their house.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? I'm not going to live in dread.
Yes, sir, brother.
The devil wants us to live in fear.
Yes, brother.
Amen.
Fear of everything.
Amen.
Some of y'all are live in fear of the police. You see them driving down the road and you about have a heart attack. Why are you scared of them? Why they make you nervous? Oh, there's a cop behind me. So? Yeah. Listen, I'm not going to live my life in fear. What if the presidency don't change? What if it don't? I'm still going to trust God. He got us through the Y2K crash, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, we got through that thing. I didn't even notice it.
Yeah.
Y'all all right? I'm not saying the lights couldn't go out. I'm not saying the gas won't run out. If it does run out, it's just because they're too stupid to drill a hole in the ground.
Amen.
Anyway, we've got a lot of people who not only live in doubt, who not only live in depression, but they live in dread. just uncertain about tomorrow, what the future holds. Amen. Listen, for the child of God, there's no fear for the future.
Amen.
Why? Because we're persuaded.
Yeah.
We're persuaded that He is able to keep that which we've committed unto Him against that day.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Everybody's all tore up about these movies that's come out here lately, 2012, the end of the Mayan calendar, and the world's going to come to end. Whoopee! All right, man. Finally! John was praying it way back yonder when he said, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." It's got to happen. Hope I'm here when it does. I'd love to go by the rapture instead of the grave. Wouldn't you? I'd love to just get raptured out. Just, and I'd love to be doing a graveside service when it happened. I'd like to be see them lowering old grandma in the ground. And all of a sudden I hear a trumpet somewhere off in the east. There goes Granny. I'm shutting my Bible saying I'm next. Hey man, I'm excited about that thing. I don't know if I want the Lord to come back. There must be some doubt. Must be some doubt, amen? Listen, we don't have to live in doubt. We don't have to live under a spirit of depression. I believe there's help. I believe there's help. Seek godly counsel. Get on your face. Bathe that thing in prayer. Bring it to God. There's freedom from doubt, depression. There's freedom from dread. Can I give you one more? I believe there's freedom from discouragement. There's freedom from discouragement. I know Christians. Brother Freddie, I preach for pastors all around the country and I meet people every day. They're as right with God, as far as I know, as anybody I know. But they're ready to throw in the towel. They're ready to quit. I don't know how many times, Brother Atkins, I've heard this statement when I get picked up at the airport. I hear a pastor say, "Preacher, I just want you to know, if God doesn't do something in our church this week, I'm going to resign." And I get to their church. And I preach and I meet the people and I kind of get the temperature of the church. You know what I'm saying? And I think, there's nothing wrong with this church. There's nothing wrong with these people.
Amen.
They're just like people everywhere else I go.
Right. Yeah.
He's discouraged.
Amen.
And I realize, Lord, it's not really them I'm here for, is it? I didn't really come to help the church at all, did I? And the Lord said, spend some time with Him this week. Y'all okay? Doesn't mean He's ungodly. Doesn't mean He's wicked. He's human. He's human. Elijah goes to Mount Carmel, prays fire down from heaven, kills 400 devil worshipers with his bare hands. I love that stuff in the Old Testament. I do, man. I just see it like medieval times. You know, I just... He gets one threat from a wicked queen. One threat. And he goes and hides in a cave and said, "I quit. I quit. I don't even want to live." What's the matter, Elijah? Man, who do you think you are? You know what the Lord said? The Lord said, "Elijah, what are you doing here?" Can you imagine the Lord's thoughts? "You just killed 400 prophets of Baal. You just asked me to send down fire. I did. I mean, man, you are the man."
Yeah.
It's Jezebel who should be hiding in a cave, not you.
Amen.
But you know what? Elijah was human. Elijah was human. You know something William Cowper said? Well, I'm jumping back and forth, and I apologize. But just remember, you know what he said? He said his depression gave him special access to the heart of God. I said, wow.
Amen.
There'll be something there.
Yes.
Anyway, discouragement. Do you know when you're discouraged is the worst time to quit?
Yes.
When you're discouraged, my preacher told me one time, he said, when you get discouraged, don't do nothing. Just hold your ground. Certainly don't go backwards. Hang on till the discouragement goes away. Somebody said, "Brother Eddie, do you ever get discouraged?" Yes. Yes, I get discouraged. There's things I want. There's things I want done. There's things I want to see happen. And it's just not happening, and it just doesn't seem to come together. And yeah, I get discouraged just like everybody else. But I tell you what, next Sunday morning, I'm going to come back in here and do it again. And Sunday night, I'm going to come back in here and do it again. And Wednesday night, I'm going to come back in here and do it again. Discouraged, doubt, dread, depressed, it doesn't matter. I'm going to keep the hammer down as best I can. Amen. Till the discouragement goes away and God lays something out in front of me and I go, whoa! Yes, sir, he's still on the throne. This thing's still going forward. This ship ain't going down. Thank God he can deliver us from discouragement. I was thinking last night, how many times have I really been discouraged? And I couldn't even put my mind around it as a pastor. Before that, just as a Christian, sitting on a pew just like you are this morning, discouraged. I remember when me and Sister Angie were young, I was running plumbing crews, and working as hard as I could, doing side jobs at night, working with drop lights, you know, to see what you're doing. Come in all hours of the night. There's nights my help would come home, sleep on my couch, because we had to get up in an hour and go back and hit it again. And it didn't seem to matter what I did. Nothing got better. I remember working like that and standing on the porch and watching them haul my car out of the driveway. Yeah. Christians get discouraged. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Miss Janice, would you come to the piano? And maybe Elizabeth. Maybe she could sing, "Who Am I That a King Would Bleed and Die For?" Amen. I don't know who the message was for this morning. Probably some of it for your preacher. Probably some of it for all of us. Because we probably all battle some of these things in some way, shape, or form. What's got you spiritually bound up this morning? Some of you are so bound up you can't even worship anymore. You used to worship. When I'm talking about, I know people worship differently, but there's some of you used to lift your hands and you no longer do. Some of you used to weep and come to the altar, you no longer do. Some of you used to shout and testify, but you no longer do. That's spiritual. I don't want to get to the place where I can no longer worship. Why? Because the Bible said he inhabits my praise. What's got you bound up this morning? Listen, don't come tell me about it. Not that I don't want to hear your problems, but I can't help you. I can't help you. But I know one who can. I know one who got people up out of a grave. I know one who healed issues of blood, withered hands, drove away demonic spirits, restored sight to the blind, flesh to lepers. He can take care of your bondage this morning. Let's stand our feet this morning all over the house. Listen carefully this morning. I'll give you an opportunity to come and pray in just a minute. Before we do, I wonder if we could just bow our heads this morning. Nobody looking around. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I wonder if there's somebody here this morning. Say, "Preacher, that first point was for me. I've been living in doubt. Every time I hear a salvation message, I wonder, am I really saved? Preacher, pray for me. I'd like to get that settled. I wouldn't embarrass you. I wouldn't come to you for nothing. Preacher, I'm doubting whether or not I'll go to heaven when I die. I'm not really sure. Please remember me. Would you just slip up your hand? You can put it right back down. God bless you. Thank you so much. God bless you, ma'am. Brother Eddie, I don't want to doubt anymore. If I'm not saved, I want to know it so I can get saved. But if I am saved and just doubting it, I want to get back to the place where I've got assurance in my heart again. Anybody else, just slip up your hand. God bless your heart. God bless your heart. Thank you so much for being honest this morning. Do not let the devil beat you to death with doubt. There's victory this morning. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 58, the Bible says, "But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." There's victory, not just for the preacher, there's victory for you. Don't leave here struggling in doubt. Get it settled in your heart today. Somebody will help you pray. You just come to this altar, somebody will take a Bible and show you how you don't have to doubt this thing anymore. But I wonder if there are others that say, "Preacher, I'm saved, but sometimes I doubt my own prayers. There's so much other doubt in my life. I don't doubt my salvation, but I just ain't got faith like I ought to have. Preacher, that depression thing has hit me. This discouragement and dread. Pray God would deliver me." Just slip up your hand. Hands all over the building. Father, as we come to you again this morning, Lord, you know every heart. You know every mind. You know every need. God, you saw every hand that was raised. You know those that are doubting their salvation. God, I pray you'd help them this morning. Lord, there are those that are battling the things we preached about today. And God, only when we look up will we find deliverance. And I pray you'd help us this morning. Lord, have your way in this altar call. God, we'll thank you. We'll praise you for what you do. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.